Hi, I'm with Sarah Friedland from Familiar Touch.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Can you tell us what Familiar Touch is about?
Yeah, Familiar Touch is a coming of old age film, and it follows Ruth, who is a woman in her 80s, as she transitions into a care facility. But rather than being a story of sort of decline or death, it's really a close character study of this woman in a moment of transition and a look at her relationship with her caregivers and largely with herself and her desires and agency and self-identity.
What was your inspiration for this movie?
It started with my paternal grandmother. She was a poetry editor and an intellectual and someone who really expressed herself through language. Her relationship to language was crucial to her identity. And when she developed dementia, she became nonverbal. And at the time, my family, in response to this, started speaking about her in the past tense. And yet, when I would visit her in her care facility, she was incredibly physically expressive. And that gap between, you know, speaking about her as if she were no longer there and the fact that her embodied self, you know, her sensory self, was still very much there. And that gap really haunted me for a long time and led me to think a lot about how we think of selfhood, we think of people predominantly through their cognition, through their brains, and yet so much of how we make sense of our lives, ourselves, the world, is through our bodies and through our senses. So that was sort of, that was one kind of entry point and inspiration. And then the other was many years later, I started working as a caregiver for New York City artists who had dementia. And that job really taught me so much. What I saw was that, you know, a lot of my clients' family members were grieving the experience of their loved one, but the client themselves, the older adults I worked for, they weren't, you know, their narrative was more one of trying to hold on to and find the kind of through line of who they were, rather than the loss of who they were. You know, their daily lives weren't an experience of constant grief. There was still so much living to do. And so that really transformed how I thought about aging and identity.
So since then, you know that you want this kind of movie as your debut on the big screen?
Yeah, I mean, I've been making experimental dance films and video installations for the last decade. And I, you know, knew that this film really, this idea had to be expressed in a narrative feature length film. And I couldn't stop thinking about it and was writing it for many years. So it became clear that this was a story that I could tell and the one that I would sort of take that scary jump of trying this new form.
How would you describe Ruth, the main character?
Part of what I love about this character that I wrote and that Kathleen so beautifully animates is that we don't meet one version of her. You know, we get to meet the child version of her, the teenage version of her, the young woman version, and the old woman version. You know, I think when I was working as a caregiver, I saw how fluid the age identity of my clients were, that they could access all of the people they had been leading up to being an old person, or an older person, I should say. And so I think that was the most important part of Ruth's character, was the idea that she wouldn't just be the 80-year-old version of herself. She would be all the Ruths that she had been from the day that she was born up until then and be this sort of accumulation of selves and experiences. And, you know, I thought a lot about the coming-of-age genre in writing her, that with younger adults, we allow for this idea that someone can transform and shift and they remain themselves. You know, that's so much of what the coming-of-age genre is, this moment of transformation. And yet with older adults, when they go through these transformations, we describe it as a loss, that they're no longer themselves. So I really looked to the coming-of-age genre to write her character. But she is a mother, she is a cook, she is a flirt, she is, I would say, a left-wing Jew. She's a Californian. I think she's a bit of a trickster. She's many things, and the greatest pleasure was working with Kathleen Chalfon, our lead actor, who brought out all these little details of who this person is, this sort of mosaic that makes up herself.
Why did you choose cook as a profession of her?
I knew that I wanted Ruth to be a creative woman and a very sort of talented and her craft successful woman. And when thinking about different art forms, I came to cooking because I knew that I wanted the film to be grounded in her senses and in her body. And cooking, not only is it an incredibly choreographic craft, right? There's so many sort of specific gestures and postures and movements that your body has to remember in order to create a dish. But at the same time, it's a form that appeals to all of the senses. You know, it's aesthetic in terms of how kind of color and texture make up a plate. It's obviously it has to do with taste, smell. So when considering other art forms that Ruth could practice, I kept coming back to cooking because it really could engage all of Ruth's senses, and that really interested me.
How would you describe the atmosphere on the moving set?
So we filmed in a real retirement community, and in the 5 weeks leading up to principal photography, our crew and some of our actors, such as Carolyn Michelle Smith, who plays Vanessa, we facilitated a filmmaking workshop for the residents. Basically initiated what was an intergenerational production that all of the residents and all of, you know, many of the care workers there were an integral part of our cast and crew. And so in a way it felt more like an artist residency, a sort of intergenerational artist residency, and a kind of an experimental classroom than it did a film set. Because ordinarily on a film set, you know, your crew has sort of full control over a space, unless you're shooting, you know, on location on the street or something. And this was the opposite. We did not have control. We were guests in a home. We were guests in a workplace, and we really shifted how we thought about a set to reflect that. So, you know, I guess to give you one example, you know, we're shooting a scene and you look over at Video Village. You know, I don't know if that expression exists in Poland, but it's basically where the monitor is that all the crew can watch what you're filming. You know, and Video Village was full of older adults and care workers watching the scene that their peers were acting in. And so it really, you know, it felt like this wonderful kind of intergenerational community that was both a site of artistic production and of this kind of experiment in how a space of care and aging could be a space for art making.
So in the movie, we can see true people who are living there or only actors?
No, so that is a real care facility, and the main roles are played by professional actors, but everybody else are real residents and care workers there.
What was the biggest challenge for you during this film?
I mean, the biggest challenge was getting the film off the ground. It took over 7 years to get it made. You know, it was very hard to find funding for this film. You know, we kept hearing over and over again, this isn't a sexy topic. And on the contrary, I think it's exactly that perspective. That's why we need to make this film. You know, a big component of it is sort of seeing Ruth as someone who is a sexual person. You know, we rarely get to see older women's sexuality on screen. So there were just a lot of barriers to getting it off the ground. But once we were filming, it was a really, you know, quite joyful and easeful experience. It was just getting to that first day where you got to say action took many, many years.
Since when you know that you wanted to be a film director?
You know, I wasn't one of those directors where, you know, at 5 years old I had a video camera and I knew it. It took me a long time to really have the kind of confidence to admit not only to myself, but to other people that I wanted to be a filmmaker. I really loved choreography and photography when I was a student, and sort of, you know, was taking a lot of photos of bodies, and those photographs became diptychs and then triptychs and, you know, sort of more and more animate. And then my first experiments in filmmaking were with my dance friends. You know, I was studying choreography. I knew I didn't want to be a dancer. I didn't have the talent for it, but I loved the language of it. And so I started making dance films with my friends in college. And that was when it first started to click. But it took me a really long time to sort of admit it to, you know, to really kind of claim that that was my ambition. It took making a lot of dance films to say, okay, this is who I am. But yeah, I wasn't one of those directors where, like, you know, there was like a moment where I knew that this was, you know, my destiny. It was a lot of years of kind of playing and practicing, and it took some time.
So in the future, you want to combine dancing and movie?
Yeah, you know, I think of Familiar Touch as a dance film. I know, you know, sort of on the surface, it doesn't read like one, but I really went about the process of writing the film as if, you know, as if it was all kind of a choreographed dance. That's how I think. I sort of think about story through patterns of movement. So I want to keep making films that are where the kind of language of the film, the grammar of the film, is movement, even if it's not explicitly like stylized dance. But in the meantime, you know, I want to keep making the sort of experimental dance films and video installations that I have been before.
Do you have some advice for young people who want to be film director?
Yeah, absolutely. I think my biggest advice would be to find your people and stick with them. One of the sort of biggest gifts in my life and reasons how Familiar Touch got made is that when I was quite young, I met the production designer and DP that I work with. And we met when we were all PAs, you know, which is production assistants. We were sort of the, you know, bottom of the totem pole. And we started making short films together, you know, almost no budget short films, and got to play and experiment together without pressure, without risk. No one knew who we were or cared what we were making. And because of that, we got to really experiment and practice and build the language together. And so Familiar Touch was all of our first features. And that came after almost a decade of making work together. And, you know, the idea of making films by yourself is daunting. But if you sort of find your crew and learn together and lean on each other, that makes it possible. So I guess my biggest advice would be, you know, don't look up for the people who will change your life, you know, someone older, more powerful, more established than you. Look sort of next to you, you know, of who are the people that are kind of where you're at, and then you can kind of practice and lift each other up together. Those relationships were the sort of most influential in my life, not the kind of, you know, more famous people I'd worked with. It was the people right next to me.
For who do you think the Familiar Touch is? Who should watch it?
I think it's for anybody who is aging, anyone who has been cared for, and anyone who cares for somebody else. And in that way, it's for everybody, because we're all aging, and we all in our lives will either be cared for or care for somebody else. And so I think it's a film that has the possibility to touch all of these people.